This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The awareness and popularity of P2P financing or peer-to-peer financing has grown tremendously over the past year or so. Even the recent budget announced by the new Pakatan Harapan government also suggests that the powers that be recognize not only the importance of P2P financing in helping to fill the SME financing gap, but also in supporting individuals to purchase their first home via property crowdfunding. So I think it's fair to say business is booming at Funding Societies. Funding Societies is the largest regional P2P financing platform in Malaysia and Southeast Asia, and they connect creditworthy SMEs with retail, high net worth and institutional investors. At the time of recording, Funding Societies had successfully disbursed hundreds of millions of ringgit in SME financing across Malaysia, Singapore and Indonesia. And they aim to continue serving the unserved or underserved SMEs across the region. Here in the studio today, we have Funding Society CEO Wong Kah Ming, and he's about to tell you how you, as a business owner or investor, can get in on the action.
Oh, thanks a lot, Audrey, for having me, and glad to be back.
Okay, so the last you were here was sometime last year when you had just successfully crowdfunded two loans. What are your figures at right now?
Yeah, I think it's been quite a trailing ride for the past 12, 15 months. Mm-hmm. Back when we started in February 2017, as you mentioned, the first 2 months we crowdfunded two loans, and that took us 2 to 3 weeks.
Oh.
To actually crowdfund the loan. That was a total of, say, 300,000 ringgit.
But that's not bad, right? For your first 2 weeks, okay.
Yeah, but at the point in time, there was a lot of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fear in terms of, can we even close the loan, right? As in, successfully crowdfund and then disperse to the SMEs.
Mm.
So that was, like, very real at that point in time. I think fast forward 12, 15 months right now, if we were to, say, crowdfund a loan that is 500,000 ringgit, that would probably take us less than a minute.
Less than a minute.
Yeah. So we have crowdfunds that last probably 20, 30 seconds, whereby they're all taken up by investors, whether through an auto-allocation algorithm that we have put in place or through manual investments, whether through our website or mobile app. So it's certainly grown quite a fair bit since we started, since 12, 15 months ago.
Okay, I know you just mentioned the mobile app. We're going to come back to that. But I have a question just out of curiosity here. These loans that you just mentioned that you've funded, do you see a trend in the sector of funding? Because most people seem to want to invest in tech-related SMEs at the moment, or that is what we read from the news and stuff, right? Does that really reflect the demand that you see at Funding Societies?
Yep. From the SME perspective, we do get applications for financing across different industries or sectors.
Mm.
We don't discriminate. We believe in good industries, you have bad SMEs. You in bad industries, you have good SMEs. So we take a bottom-up approach and try to understand the business that is applying for financing and see how we can sort of structure the financing to meet the financing needs. Right. On the investor side, we do see appetite for shorter-term financing structures.
Mm-hmm.
So financing that is within 6 to 12 months, that have an interest rate between 10 to 12%. So we see that as a sweet spot in terms of where investor demand is in terms of investment opportunities. In terms of sector-wise, we do see they are quite agnostic across most sectors, but do see a bit of aversion in the construction or the property sector.
Okay. All right. Before we go any further, maybe you could give our listeners out there a recap of what Funding Societies is, what you do, and how far you've come since your inception.
Yep. So Funding Societies started off as a regional company back in Singapore in 2015. We launched in Indonesia in 2016 and in Malaysia 2017. So it's a nice coincidence that it's one every country per year, right? Since then, we have crowdfunded close to, I think more than 500 million ringgit in terms of disbursements to SMEs across the region, more than 4,000 deals, close to 5,000 deals now, right? Whilst maintaining one of the lowest default rates across the region. So we typically maintain a default rate between 1 to 1.5% across the entire region. In in terms of the growth for the company since the past 1 year, specifically for Malaysia, we have grown from a headcount of, say, 6 to 8 people when we first came on BFM 12, 15 months ago, mm-hmm. and now we have close to 25, 30 people, right? And hence, we are in that growth phase whereby we're trying to scale up the business. And likewise, in terms of funds dispersed as well, we have seen strong growth from 2 deals in the first 2 months up to we have typically more than 10 deals right now every single month, and we do around 5-7 million ringgit per month.
Okay. You are now also the only Southeast Asian P2P financing company selected to the FinTech 250, which, for those who aren't aware, is a global list of emerging private companies working on groundbreaking financial technology, aka FinTech. Mm-hmm. And you also won an award from ITU Telecom, right? And this was fairly recent. Tell us a bit about this.
Yeah, I think we were very surprised when we won the award. So the ITU is a unit under the United Nations. Mm-hmm. And every year they have this award, this global award, whereby they pick from hundreds of applicants across the world, the SMEs that use sort of IT or communications technology to improve financial inclusion, right? And we're very humble and very proud to be the first SME to be to win the award in Southeast Asia, right? And that's basically a pat on our backs in terms of furthering our mission to help SMEs get access to more financing in Southeast Asia. And that's basically aligned to the vision and the mission of the company. I think throughout the process, I think it was definitely a very humbling one, very challenging one, whereby we had to actually submit a proposal and do a pitch presentation about what we do and how we use IT and technology to improve financial inclusion. Specifically, we are talking about the microfinancing product that we have that SMEs can use to apply for a mobile loan directly through mobile, and there's no sort of face-to-face interaction. And I think it went through a whole process of panel judges, and fortunately, they decided to give us a award. So it was good. Boost in terms of our morale, and sort of give us sort of like the energy to work even harder to make this work.
Okay, so award winning right now, and like you said, you know, your projects or your deals get snapped up sometimes in less than a minute. So you're obviously doing something right. To put it simply, why do you think there is such a demand and recognition for P2P financing right now?
Yeah. So when we started off the company, naturally I come from a consultant background. So naturally you try to figure out where the gaps are in the market, right? And what problems are you trying to solve? On the investment side of things, some of the common things that we see in Malaysia from an investment landscape or gap there is basically the ease of investing. So how easy it is for someone to invest, right? The second one is liquidity. People want short term. People want something that is easy to get in and out of. And the third one is basically, is it cheap to do it, right? Easy to it, cheap cost, right? So I think P2P financing is a platform or a vehicle, investment vehicle that allows investors to do such a thing. Specifically from the whole liquidity standpoint, as I was mentioning earlier, most of the investments notes that we put on the platform for investments are typically between 6 to 12 months, right? And most of those deals are typically repaid on, say, a monthly basis or on a quarterly basis. So investors are able to encash their investments much faster than, say, mutual funds or stocks, right? So that's the first point. The second point is around basically the ease of it, right? So how easy it is for me to invest, right? Do I have to do a lot of research? Do I have to really track my portfolio, so on and so forth, right? For that, that's where we come in, right? Whereby we do a lot of the due diligence, credit assessment of the SMEs before we place them onto our platform for crowdfunding. So we do the due diligence, and we also do the monitoring and making sure that the payments go back to the investors. And the last point is around how cheap is it for investors to actually invest. If you're an investor and you try to invest overseas, then you have to end up paying a lot of charges, right? FX charges, brokerage fees, so on and so forth, management fees, things like that. We allow investors to invest from as low as 100 ringgit. So people like you and me, mom and pop, anyone on the street could just download our mobile app, sign up fully online, get activated and start investing. And we only charge a fee when the repayments successfully come back to the investor. So we charge no fee when it comes to buying or exiting or management fees, annual management fees, servicing fees, nothing of that nature, unless they have invested. and the returns come back to them, and then we take a percentage of that, right? Typically around 15% of the interest component.
Mm. Yep. Sounds very kiasu-proof as well.
Kiasu-proof, I think it meets the needs of most investors. Mm. But I think the hard part is that is also how do we balance the needs of both the SMEs as well as investors. So obviously on the investor side, they want the safest, the shortest tenor, the highest return. On the SME side, right, you're trying to balance that against SME needs whereby I can't give you super high interest rates. I need time to pay off the financing, right? How are you going to structure the balance between the two? So I think for us as a platform, that's the tough part, right? How do you try to meet the needs of the SMEs, right, while still appealing to the investor base?
Correct. So do you look at each deal specifically and try and meet that balance for each deal? Or do you have like an algorithm or like a secret recipe on how to make this happen for every deal that comes in?
Hmm. So it's a mixture of both. So we have a microfinancing product that is based on our mobile application. So for those deals, they are more straightforward, more sort of templatized, more standardized, right? On the other hand, you have bigger ticket sort of deals. So it could be 500,000 ringgit, 1 million ringgit, 1.5 million. Mm-hmm. For those deals, they are a lot more thought out. We look at a lot more angles. We look at a lot more sort of different ways to different risk areas or risk factors that the SME faces. Mm-hmm. And how do we mitigate those risk factors? So that's the first point. The second point is then, how do we structure the financing in a way that meets the cash flow cycle of the SME, right? But at the same time, is accepted by investors, right? So I think that's the sort of bigger ticket deal sort of that we look into. And that obviously takes a bit more time in terms of us understanding the SME and figuring out what kind of structure works for them. So there's really no one size fits all. Mm. And it really depends on the SME segment that we're trying to serve.
Speaking of the SMEs, maybe you could share some real case scenarios of why SMEs come looking for funding.
Yep. So one recent example is when we supported a developer/property company in Sabah, Sarawak. So they are in the construction business, and how construction businesses typically get paid is through billings, right? Mm. Say you have a whole project worth 10 million ringgit and you get paid progressively based on work done. So first 10%, second 30%, fourth 50%, and then the remainders, right? But they were in this period whereby it was Hari Raya, Gawai, et cetera, that means that if they don't get the work done on time, then they wouldn't get to bill, say, their customers, and hence they wouldn't be able to draw down the funds and pay their workers. Mm. So it's a bit of a chicken and egg problem whereby if I don't do the work, I won't get paid. But if I don't get paid, I can't pay my workers, right? Sort of situation. So they came to us. We had a look at their financials. We had a look at their aging listing. We had a look at basically how well they are tracking against the timelines of the project. And we decided to extend them a short-term financing that allows them to pay the wages, right, for that period of time until they're able to complete the work and then get to draw down from the bank financing that they already have. So I think this is one good example of whereby we work sort of quite closely with, say, the traditional financial avenues that's out there open to SMEs and how we can sort of complement them.
Speaking of the traditional avenues, to some, is the bank loan option completely closed?
Yep. To some SMEs, yes. So, and specifically, we are talking about micro SMEs, right? And you're talking about deal sizes that are really, really small ticket. So the smallest ticket that we have done is 7,000 ringgit. Mm. And that's for 6-9 months tenor. So for a bank to build a distribution channel, build a sales force to meet the needs of, say, a 7,000 ringgit loan doesn't really make sense economically. It's not feasible, right? So that's the challenge of the distribution cost that most banks face when it comes to SMEs, and in particular, micro and small SMEs. So for us, hence, we had to develop a distribution strategy that really works for that segment. And for our case, we felt that the right way to approach that is through a mobile-focused lending application where everything can be done through online means without any sort of physical interactions.
We're going to take a quick break for some messages, but when we come back, Funding Society CEO Wong Kah Ming tells us why more SMEs are choosing P2P financing over your regular bank loans or ECF. That's coming up next, BFM
89.9. Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise. My name is Audrey Raj. We are speaking to Funding Society's CEO Wong Kah Ming about his P2P financing platform that serves the unserved and underserved SMEs across the region. Now, Funding Societies is registered with the Securities Commission under Recognized Market and allows investors to invest in Malaysian SMEs through its platform and in return receive interest rates from borrowers of up to 16% per annum. Now, that sounds great to an investor, but why are so many SMEs who have all options open to them, i.e. loans from a bank or via equity crowdfunding, why do they choose P2P over these other options?
So just to contrast the three different sort of avenues of financing that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So equity crowdfunding focuses on SMEs willing to give up some share of ownership of their company in order to get funds in and to grow their business, right? The good thing about that is basically, although you lose ownership of your company or parts of it, you are able to grow the company using funding, whereby you do not have sort of strict timelines whereby you have to make repayments back, right? So it takes the pressure off quite a fair bit.
Mm.
On the other hand, you have bank financing. And bank financing, from my experience, is that typically they would like to lend long, so 3 to 5 years, bigger ticket financing, right, and at lower interest rates.
Mm.
So that's their target segment. That's what they're very good at. We focus on the other end of the spectrum, whereby it's about short-term financing needs, about short-term cash flow needs, right, say 2 to 3 months or 6 to 9 months, 12 months. Interest rates is higher, right, but we don't take collateral.
Mm.
But given the lower tenor that we're talking about, the risk is mitigated, as well as the total interest cost that you pay is actually lower,
mm.
right? So, for example, if you have a mortgage loan, it could go for 35 years. Interest rates could be 4%, right, which is low. But if you were to consider the whole 35-year tenor, you will see that your interest component is probably the same as your principal.
Right, correct.
So thinking from that perspective, that's what we serve in terms of lower, sort of shorter-term financing, collateral free, as well as the ability to meet those needs by moving a lot faster. If you are going for 3 months financing, you can't wait for a bank for 2 months or 3 months just to disperse you the loan, which by that point in time, it no longer serves the needs of the SMEs.
Yeah. But do you do the longer-term financing too?
On a selective basis, so the longest tenor that we have done so far is 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
But naturally, we have tried to scale it down back to around 12 months. Because a lot of the observations, at least from Singapore, is that we see defaults happening towards the tail end of the 11, 12 month.
Mm.
So we try to scale it down within the 12-month time frame. But at the end of the, say, 12-month time frame, we'll give them an extension or another loan afterwards. So they can still grow their business afterwards.
But why do you see that trend of the defaults happening after the first year?
So I think it's a lot harder to predict what would happen after the first year or after the first 1.5, 2 years.
Mm.
And if you look at banks as well, you will notice that most of the defaults happen towards the latter half of the financing. So if an SME gives an SME a 3 to 5 year loan, it's highly unlikely that the loan will go south in the first 2 years.
Mm.
Statistically speaking, it typically happens in the third, fourth, fifth year, whereby the loan typically goes south. Yep.
Okay, so I understand that as Funding Societies has grown, you are looking to boost the SME industry with your solutions. So what is this game plan?
Yep. So from the SME perspective, when we were speaking 12, 15 months ago, we only had one product, very standardized. It was a term finance product for, say, 12 months, and you had to make equal installments of interest and principal every single month.
Mm.
So that was the only product that we had, right? Fast forward now, we have a couple of products that we are already working on. So the first one is basically invoice financing, whereby if SMEs want even shorter term financing, say for 3-4 months, they can actually factor or pledge the invoice to us for the 3 or 4 months tenor of the invoices,
mm-hmm.
right? So that is the other product that we launched for about 6-9 months now, and we have seen quite a bit of interest from the SME segment. The other one is what we are discussing at quite a bit of length is microfinancing. So that's focusing on the micro segment that we didn't initially have when we started the company in 2017.
All right, so we've been talking a lot about how this benefits the SMEs, but what's in it from the investor's point of view? Why should I, as an investor, invest with funding societies and its deals? And what can I invest in and what's in it for me?
Yep. So the first thing is basically it's very easy to get started. So the whole process is online. So from the moment that you sign up on the platform or register on the platform, to filling up the forms, to making your deposits and withdrawals, everything is done online. So there's no need to walk into our office to hand us a document or any kind of agreements. So the whole process is online. The initial deposit is 1,000 ringgit, but you can invest from as low as 100 ringgit. So with the 1,000 ringgit deposits, you can invest in technically 10 different SMEs and therefore diversify your risk easily across 10 different SMEs. Right. So that's the first point. The second point is basically around liquidity, right? A lot of our investment options are very short-term in nature, so typically less than 12 months. So it allows investors to better manage their liquidity. So if, for example, you're an investor and you typically invest in, say, unit trusts or stocks, you'd realize that you probably would have to hold onto it for quite a bit of time. One is you have to bear the fluctuations in stock prices. The other one is if you go under the unit trust road, then you probably have to pay management fees, you have to buy-in fees, exit fees. But for us, there's no such fees unless you invest and the repayments come back. So it's a bit like a success fee basis, whereby you can only we can only gain as a company if you as an investor gain. Right? So I think that's the second point around liquidity, ability to encash your investments. And the third is basically how easy it is to do it. So once you are signed up and activated, how easy it is for you to start investing, whether it's through our website or through our mobile app. You can also set up an auto investment allocation, investment parameters on our website or mobile app that says, I want investment opportunities that yield a certain percentage return, say between, say, 10 to 12%, that is within a given tenor, say, not more than 18 or 24 months. And I want to exclude certain industries, say, you don't like construction or property, right? Then our algorithm would help you to allocate your investments according to those parameters. So it's a lot easier for you to manage your investments. And when it comes to repayments, we will be facilitating that process for investors as well. Right? So it's really a hassle-free approach towards investing.
But you make it sound like it's a sure shot. Like if I say I want a 12% return on investment in a year, I will get that. Has there ever been a time where the investor did not get the returns that they were promised? Or that they expected at least?
So one thing that we always educate investors on is basically to always diversify your investments across many different SMEs. The risk of default for an SME is very real. We do a lot of due diligence checks, background checks before we disperse the funds to the SME, but it is very difficult to predict what would happen in the future. Normally, what we see when SMEs default is when they run into financial distress, and that's usually a function of their customers not paying them or the market has turned on them. SMEs are unlike global MNCs or corporations whereby they have a lot of customers. So if one customer walks away, they're fine because they have their hundreds of other customers that will still pay them, right?
Correct.
But for SMEs, you typically just have a handful. So if one if you lose one customer, it would have a significant impact in terms of your cash flow. And that is where it leads to financial distress. So we as a platform, we look at that as a element of our risk assessment. But obviously, you can't foretell what happens in the future, right? So we always tell investors to diversify because the risk of default is real. It will happen. It's impossible to find a business that is risk-free because everyone else would then just go on and start such a business, right? So always diversify, and we keep our investment minimum investment ticket to 100 ringgit, right? So I think that's something that we are always very aware about. We also send out sort of investor communications, educational EDMs on what does diversification do? Why is it important to diversify? And so on and so forth. So for us, we always want, when you talk about returns, so let's say the net return after fees that is promised by the SME is, say, 12%, right? We always tell investors to factor in, say, a default rate, say, 3 to 5%, so that at least you know what is the buffer there is for me to take before I earn, like, negative returns compared to, say, fixed deposits, right?
Yeah.
So that is something that we try to warn investors about. For us as a platform, we try to buffer it by charging higher interest rates to make that buffer.
And we also said that we would discuss your newly launched mobile app. I think it's called the FS Bolt.
Yes.
Interesting name.
Yeah. So I think that's sort of testament, or as well as a reminder for us that it has to be quick, right?
Yeah.
FS Bolt. Yeah.
All right. And how is that going? Yeah. And how do you see the app changing the game for funding societies?
Yeah. So I think the FS Bolt microfinancing app is going to be a very key platform for us to reach the really unserved SMEs, micro SMEs, small SMEs in Malaysia that is not getting the financing at all from banks, right, or traditional financial institutions. So it's a mobile app that we started off in Singapore. And we started fine-tuning, and now we are scaling up that business in Singapore. And for Malaysia, we have brought that over. Obviously, we had to do a lot of localization, a lot of tailoring towards understanding the market here for micro SMEs, as well as the way you assess and review the cases that come in, right? So we are in the process of basically fine-tuning the way that we sort of assess these SMEs for the microfinancing applications. But we feel that this is going to be one of the key areas that would help to propel us in giving access to financing to these micro and small SMEs that is right now may not even be getting access to financing. So it's not really about how fast you do it or how much you can give me. If the question is really, can you actually give me financing at all? And I think that really serves to our purpose of trying to improve, help to drive the economy, right? Ultimately, there's a lot of businesses that we could have get involved in, but the question is we wanted to do SME financing for a good reason because it has a huge productive impact on the economy. And from that respect, the micro SME space is a key part of the whole micro space. If you look at the distribution of micro SMEs in the Malaysian landscape, a huge majority would sit in the micro SME space. There's close to a million SMEs in Malaysia, right? I would say probably 60 to 70% of them probably sits under this micro SME tier.
So there's no questions asked for these SMEs. Like, they don't have to in any way tell you what they plan to use the money for or what they want the money for. Is there any thorough check before you award them or say, okay, let's make a deal?
Yep. So we do still thorough checks on these SMEs. So we do have we do request for things like bank statements, income statements, right? We do still give them a verification call to understand what does their business do, what do they need funds for, so on and so forth. So there's still that some interaction to understand the business and to basically understand what they want to use the funds for, right? But we don't go there and, say, do a site visit or whatnot.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And before we go, what's the next step? Aside from serving the underserved SMEs, how do you see funding societies growing in the not-so-distant future?
Yep. So in the past year, we have also closed our Series B funding that was led by SoftBank Capital, as well as Sequoia. So that was to the tune of 100 million ringgit for the entire region. So for us, it's basically using that funds to basically improve the platforms that we have, right? Namely the website, the user interface, as well as the mobile applications, streamlining processes, automating processes internally, making it more efficient to be able to serve SMEs as well as investors better. So I think in the near term, those will be basically where our core focus would be. Because right now we are essentially a 3-year-old company, right? And I think the next 1-2 years for us, that's where we will start fine-tuning and scaling up the businesses on both sides of the platform.
I've been speaking to CEO of Funding Societies, Wong Kah Ming, about the P2P financing platform. Now, if you need more information on Funding Societies or on FS Bolt, their app, you can check them out at fundingsocieties.com.my. My name is Audrey Raj. Thank you for listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.